The business stories today are substantial. Let's start with SpaceX acquiring Anysphere for $60 billion. Anysphere is the company behind Cursor, which is an AI coding assistant built on top of VS Code that has gained significant traction in the developer community as an alternative to GitHub Copilot. $60 billion for a coding tool company. To put that in context, that's larger than many established software companies with decades of revenue history.
The strategic logic from SpaceX's perspective requires some unpacking. SpaceX is fundamentally an engineering company. Their primary constraint is finding and retaining exceptional software engineers who can work across embedded systems, orbital mechanics, and real-time control software. Owning the tools that elite engineers prefer gives SpaceX a potential advantage in both internal productivity and talent acquisition. There's also a less obvious angle. If AI-assisted coding becomes the primary productivity surface for software development, owning that surface is significant infrastructure leverage.
But I want to flag something in the market context here. $60 billion is a valuation that implies extraordinary future revenue. Cursor is generating real revenue, it has a subscriber base and enterprise traction, but the multiples required to justify $60 billion assume that the AI coding assistant market becomes very large and that Cursor maintains a durable position in it. That's a significant bet against both OpenAI's growing coding capabilities and Google's competing products, not to mention the open source alternatives that the AskHN thread we discussed earlier shows people are actively exploring.
The Salesforce acquisition of Finn for $3.6 billion makes a different kind of sense. Finn was originally Intercom, or at least the AI agent component of Intercom was spun out or rebranded as Finn. The product is an AI customer support agent that handles Tier 1 support queries autonomously. Salesforce's Service Cloud is one of their core revenue pillars, and bolting on a capable AI agent that can deflect support tickets directly serves their existing enterprise customer base. $3.6 billion for a proven product with enterprise contracts and revenue is a much more legible deal than the Anysphere acquisition.
The HN comments on the Salesforce Finn deal are characteristically cynical about what happens to acquired products inside Salesforce. The company has a mixed track record with acquisitions, Slack being the prominent cautionary example where many users feel the product stagnated after acquisition. But Finn's use case is actually better suited to the Salesforce orbit than Slack was, because it plugs directly into CRM data and support workflows where Salesforce already owns the customer relationship.
Fox buying Roku is the media industry story that deserves careful analysis. Roku has roughly 83 million active accounts as of their most recent reporting. It's one of the dominant streaming hardware and software platforms in North America. Fox Corporation is a traditional media company that owns Fox News, Fox Sports, the Fox Broadcast Network, and Tubi, which is their free ad-supported streaming service. Combining Roku's distribution platform with Fox's content assets creates something that didn't exist before, a media company with direct relationships at the device level with tens of millions of households.
The regulatory question is real here. When a content company acquires a distribution platform, antitrust scrutiny becomes relevant. The concern is that Fox could use Roku's platform position to favor Fox content, better placement, preferential treatment in search results, friction added to competing content. Before we get into the what-if portion of today's discussion, let me give some context on how antitrust law actually evaluates deals like this, because the HN comments show a lot of confusion about what monopoly means legally.
This is actually a good moment for a brief explainer, Marcus. What's the legal framework here?
Right. The core of American antitrust law goes back to the Sherman Act of 1890, which prohibits contracts, combinations, or conspiracies in restraint of trade, and monopolization or attempts to monopolize. The important thing most people misunderstand is that monopoly in antitrust law is not just about market share. Having a large market share is not illegal. What's illegal is using monopoly power to harm competition through exclusionary conduct. The classic example is, if you have 60% of the widget market, that's fine by itself. But if you start requiring retailers to exclusively carry your widgets and punish them for carrying competitors' widgets, now you're crossing into exclusionary conduct.
And how does that apply to a Fox Roku deal?
The analysis would focus on whether Roku's platform position, which is significant but not dominant, there's also Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google Chromecast, and smart TV operating systems from Samsung and LG, gives Fox the ability to harm competing content distributors in a way that reduces consumer welfare. Antitrust regulators would look at whether Roku's share of the streaming device market in relevant submarkets is sufficient to give Fox meaningful leverage, and whether Fox's content assets give Roku a reason to foreclose competition. The relevant market definition matters a lot. If the market is streaming devices, Roku is significant but not dominant. If the market is ad-supported free streaming platforms, Tubi's combination with Roku's user data could look quite different.
Now, we promised a What If We're Wrong segment today, and I want to apply it to the biggest consensus claim in today's AI stories. The HN community, and frankly most of the tech media, seems to have settled on a strong consensus. Local models are catching up fast. And within a few years, the performance gap between running inference locally and calling a frontier API will be small enough that the cost and privacy advantages of local models will tip the balance. The Ask HN thread assumes this trajectory. The Homelab AI dev post assumes it. Even the Cohere model launch is implicitly responding to it.
So what would need to be true for that to be wrong?
A few things. First, there's an assumption embedded in the local models are catching up narrative that the frontier keeps roughly constant. But Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google are not standing still. The gap might be narrowing in absolute terms while staying constant, or even widening in relative terms on the tasks that matter most. Complex multi-step reasoning, novel problem solving, tasks that require broad world knowledge. If the frontier keeps moving, the practical gap for demanding tasks might not close.
Second, there's a hardware assumption. The argument for local models assumes that consumer hardware capable of running large quantized models stays affordable and accessible. But GPU supply chains have been constrained, and the economics of high-end consumer GPUs are not straightforwardly improving. If the compute required to run competitive local models stays above what most developers have available, the calculus doesn't change.
Third, and this is the one I find most interesting, the productivity advantage of frontier models might not be primarily about raw code completion capability. It might be about the model's ability to navigate ambiguity, understand intent, and make judgment calls in underspecified situations. Capabilities that are harder to benchmark and harder to transfer into smaller models through distillation. If that's where the real value is, local models might achieve near parity on benchmarks while still lagging on the things that actually move the needle for developers.
So what's the signal to watch? If local models get within a small margin on SPOUE bench and similar coding benchmarks, but developers keep reporting in threads like that Ask HN post that they still reach for the frontier model for hard problems, that's evidence the capability gap is real, even when benchmarks look close. The revealed preference of sophisticated developers doing real work is more informative than benchmark rankings.
The other signal is enterprise adoption. If companies with genuine security and privacy constraints, regulated industries, defense contractors, anyone handling sensitive data, shift to local inference for core workflows, that validates the capability claim. If those organizations keep running frontier APIs despite the compliance friction, that tells you something about where the real capability gap sits.